Yes, it is. Crunch time, as you heard, for the Australian Property Group, the wholesale mortgage fund returning 7% per annum paid quarterly. And Ringwood Mazda, score a demo deal now. Let's get into some quickfire questions on the finals teams, boys. North Melbourne have been very topical, even though they've probably had a few days off. Petrie or Magic Door for the finals, or even both for the first week of the finals?
Who opens the batting? I'm still going Drew Petrie. I know that we'll probably get some opposition in this room. I want to see a warrior stand up. I want to see his mates gain a little bit of strength out of that and be inspired by him.
I can't see Brad dropping Drew Petrie. I just can't see it.
I can't see North Melbourne going into a big final with Magic Door as one of their top line big men. I don't think he's ready yet.
Is there a way that they can beat Adelaide, do you think?
I think there is. I think the Crows play a different brand of football. There's a lot of damage done off half back. Their midfield, they virtually bypass. It's so quick the way they play. Over the back, over the top, into space, and their forwards are charging back. I think the better teams have been able to shut them down. They've been able to slow that ball
movement
down.
Can North do that?
Well, they haven't shown it this year, but they can.
The one thing I would say is that two ingredients which weren't there when they got knocked over in the final game a couple of weeks ago was no Brodie Smith off the back flank, who goes inside forward 50 the most of anyone, and Rory Sloane's ability to win the footy. So try and turn up and take those two out of the game again in some way, shape or form. Sweat on Brodie Smith. I reckon you can truly cancel him out and whatever way your midfield coach decides, plan against Rory Sloane to have little effect.
Can North Melbourne... What's North Melbourne like on the big ground of Adelaide Oval?
Because they got smacked in round one last year. They got pulverised.
Yeah, right, so if they go too defensive to stop all their run, they're gone.
Adelaide just dragged it out of the middle willfully.
And they say, we're going to take on the game. I don't think North have got enough legs and stuff.
Well, what's their strength, the Kangaroos? I think when you look at their whole profile, they don't have a weapon.
They had a weapon, the three tall forwards.
Waits played two games in 8 weeks.
But that disappeared. Yeah.
The one thing I'd say that can be a weapon for them is the half-back line of Attlee, and if McMillan gets his run up again, if Attlee can get his wheels on, they can actually make the ball travel from inside the 50-metre defensive arc through inside their own.
You just summed up North Melbourne's problems. If you think their two weapons are Sean Attlee of our back flank, who's had a year.
I think
Jamie McMillan's had a cracking year, actually.
Number 29, mate. It all comes back to Harvey.
He's had a cracking year.
Former Kangaroo. Hawthorn, has it lost its fear factor? And
yes.
Does that matter for the finals?
It has lost a bit of its fear factor, but I don't think it matters to them.
That's a good call. I think that... Again, we keep saying it. If you could just start the game like basketball, at zero all with 2 minutes to go.
Then you back them.
Outside of that, they've shown big patches this year where they can go. They can just be off for 10 minutes. Mm. And the opposition haven't been able to put them away. We've watched games together all throughout the season, Derm. Kangaroos had them, couldn't put them away. Collingwood had them, couldn't put them away. So they've been on the verge of bust.
They've got a lot of youngsters in there.
Yeah, there is,
now.
Yeah.
There's a different team. There's a lot of young blood in there. The one thing I'd say, though, is it is more than likely, if you're going to win the premiership, more than likely you will have to beat the Hawks on the MCG somewhere in the last 8 days.
The beauty of football and why... Dermot, you've been in the media and Kingy and all that sort of stuff is you win finals, you're playing finals, finals football changes. Dermot, you've been telling us about it for a million years. What Hawthorn have got, what other clubs have yet to prove, is an ability to stand up when the pressure and intensity goes to a higher level. Now, we can watch home and away football, and then you say, oh, God, if they play like that in the finals, they're going to win it. But it's very difficult to play like that in finals because the opposition team's pressure and intensity and energy levels generally are pretty solid. Hawthorn have been able to cope with that. Now, until Sydney beat them, Geelong beat them. Until Adelaide prove themselves that they can do that, I think Hawthorn are better than them. Finals separates men from boys, teams who think they're good enough and the teams that can do. Hawthorn, I think, can do.
Well, just on that, then, is there any MCG worries for the Cats? Yes, they beat Hawthorn there in round one, but three other struggling performances since then against Essendon a fair while ago, a loss to Collingwood, and only just to Richmond.
I know this gets bashed every time you mention numbers, but I'm yet to be convinced that when you get beaten by 25 contested possessions a week against the top eight teams, that that's a profile of a premiership team. And until I see it with my own eyes, I can't be tipping Hawthorn to win it. Basically saying Geelong are going to get...
Haven't they won that before? Haven't they?
Yeah, but not this is where you get back to your point. Finals footy means they have to win that. They have to be able to pressure like nothing else, like we've never seen before.
But that's what they do well, isn't it?
If they give... But they have done well. I mean, we're talking about the youth in the team now.
The profile of it is, though, Kingy, the profile of it is, if they can half live with that, if the clearance is put under pressure, because Hawthorn are able to peel off and wheel away and be third man up, win the ball, and then they don't give it back to you. The team that hurts them when they win that much are teams like GWS, because when they win at the stoppage, they don't hack it forward.
No.
They run it forward and they get to the front side of the congestion. What about, and then they look to do what they want with it, and that's what hurts.
What about Geelong, though, with the G? Is there any worries for them?
Well, same thing again. Dangerfield was the difference out in round one, because he was his ability to be in the congestion, and then by the time he released the footy, he was 7 to 15 yards ahead of the congestion with the ball, skating downhill and looking what he wanted to do with it, not labouring, hack-kicking a kick forward. He's the linchpin.
What are your fears on Geelong, both of you?
Yeah, Dangerfield and probably professionalism across the ground with their experienced players, a little bit of their forward line, but Geelong's back line don't pose any great threats for Hawthorn's forward line.
I think that's a good point. I think there's slower ball movement. We haven't seen that win finals.
From the back half?
From the back half. No. They play a measured game where they bring it slowly down the field. It allows them the luxury of time to get their defenders set in the position so they can lock it in their forward half. It's a Fremantle profile of 2 and 3 years ago, and we haven't seen that do it yet in big games. So that's the query. They could do it. Got a lot of experience there, but it's the query.
Is there any way that Jake Stringer won't play in the first week?
He's playing.
Got to play.
It would be. If he's some of the balls his coaching I've ever seen, if he doesn't play. Like, I know Beveridge can say it's my way or the highway, but I mean, to leave him out would be a bold coaching move.
They could have Liberatore back and McRae back and Easton Wood back. So this week off, they just could be the biggest beneficiaries of the whole thing.
Could you run McRae and Liber off no games into a final on a big round like Subiaco?
He's a gambler. I reckon he's a gambler. We saw
but can you afford to be a gambler? Don't you have to sometimes be safe or not?
Can you afford not to be in this
case? Can
you
afford not to be? Yeah. Look, in a lot
we
of ways,
we don't want to run
free
out of...
Well, he's actually...
Johannesson,
he's
come
actually,
back after 10 weeks.
Yeah, but he's actually given it to his players in the past. So you do the work and I'll throw you in there. Mm. So the team he's got at the moment have actually worked pretty hard. I don't know whether he can turn around and say, look, you've done everything I've asked, but you're out for a bloke who hasn't played for 8 weeks.
Well, their last game was ordinary, though, wasn't it?
Yeah,
so
that was,
gives you the...
They fell over there.
They beat the Eagles at Etihad, I know, but it's still a win against them. The plan was there. Kennedy kicked one goal. They planned that perfectly. Liberatore kicked three as a midfielder roaming around. Now, I know there's fitness queries and that sort of thing. McRae had high 30s. So I think that those guys are so important to them that they have to come back.
West Coast Eagles, you talked about the Eagles. Is their form real or fake? Sounds like an episode of Seinfeld.
They've beaten the last
real
3 weeks.
Reaction.
GWS at Spotless. They've
tough,
beaten
very tough.
They've beaten Hawthorn and they've beaten Adelaide away.
They're almost the form team of the competition. Well,
it's great form. And we hadn't seen it for 20 weeks.
What are they doing
if they were top four with that form, you'd just about put them into favouritism.
I asked Kingy on Wednesday night on 360. I'll ask you to, what are they doing in the last 3 weeks that haven't been able to put together for the first 16, 17 weeks?
Their midfield's getting much more pressure on the opposition by the way they're capturing the footy. Gaff going into the middle has
actually
given them another avenue, access to the ball. Pritis keeps doing what he does.
You remember when you interviewed Pritis, you guys, Fox Footy, after a game, and Pritis said, you know, we were just surging the ball forward out of stoppages. I reckon Gaff going into the middle has meant they're not doing that as much because he's so sure-handed. Kingy, you coached him. We all seen him. He's clean with the pill, yeah. So he'll handball it. Whereas Pritis admitted on Fox, I'm sure you were interviewing him, dude. He admitted that, yeah, we were just getting the ball and basically hacking it forward. Now they're sort of holding on to it. And Gaff's at the back. And Daniel Harford picked this up. If you look at the stoppages, picked it up. Daniel Harford pointed out to me, and I started watching and going, look where he's standing. He stands at the back of the stoppage.
Oh, yeah. But they have one there all the time.
Yeah, but he does it. And he's so cool and calm when he gets the pill. I reckon he's been a huge move into the midfield, into the starting group.
And the other one that's helped them is I'm just trying to look up his name now. The other left footer who's
Sheed.
Dom Sheed. His form's been fantastic.
Their biggest win is now they've got two intercept marks at centre half back and fullback in McGovern and Barras.
He's been extraordinary, Barras.
I think that's the hardest thing to plan against, denying two intercept markers.
And that gets back to. Once you, if you say that's the strength of them, which it is a strength, but you put them on a ground that's 21 metres wider.
But they do it there.
At the MCG.
Oh, yeah.
At the MCG. That's
big ask,
the question.
Big ask for an 18-year-old. I mean, if they went huge. Through all the way and Barras is that person at 18 and 14 games of footy, we're just about to see one of the great final series of a young player.
Mm. All right, the Sydney Swans, do their young blokes stand up in the finals, and does their game changes and that they've done with more short kicking, does that stand up?
You're big on the changes, aren't you?
Yeah, when Jared Hilly put it up on the couch and you're on the couch with him, Kingy, when he put those numbers up and they've gone from 17th, 16th, 18th to 1, 2 and, you know, 2 and 1 and ranked in their kicking and ability to move the ball, I listen to you guys all the time. Nothing happens by per chance. Oh, suddenly Sydney have decided they're going to go shorter with the ball. Don't worry about you, John Longmire.
John Longmire said during the week? Oh, we had a few wet games here at the start of the
year. Yes, I
saw
that.
Come on.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. We had to kick it long.
Yeah. That was on 360.
Did they play in a foreign country to us?
Yeah. I do remember a couple of wet games.
They had the monsoon up north.
Give them five wet ones.
They won in Sydney against
Melbourne. Haven't had 23 of them, have they?
No, but Kingy, the numbers... which is your forte, you don't go from 17th to 1 and 2 on the back.
By mistake either.
And what it shows to me when I watch Sydney, mate, their power and their ability, McGlynn kicking goals, and Buddy, I could talk about it.
Couldn't get a game all year, McGlynn. Yeah.
Their biggest change, without
fancy football's awesome.
Is they now have a ruckman.
Naismith.
They have never had a tap ruckman like this guy. In the last 6 weeks since he's gone in and played first ruck, their clearance scoring's gone through the roof. Five goals on their opposition.
Because he's not a good player, but he's a good ruckman.
He's a great tap ruckman. That's a great point. They're young players.
He's a good ruckman.
Yeah, makes him.
I know, but
that makes him a good player.
It doesn't. As a ruckman, yeah, but he's not Jimmy Steins. He won't find it around the ground. He won't touch it.
They haven't had a good tap ruckman. So that's one thing that Parker, we've never seen. Kennedy on the fly, we've never seen. Mm. And now we're starting to see them proactive and not winning the ball in tight and in close. 2 metres outside the stoppage, they're getting ball now.
Speaking of ruckman, Mumford, does he still hold the key to the Giants? Yeah. If you can stop him, does it still stop them?
I've seen a lot of their games this year. And each time, if he's out, you start with somebody else, blah, blah, blah. He hasn't missed that many games this year. But each time he's played and the opposition ruckman has done well on him, the opposition win.
Who is the reserve ruckman? Lobb.
You can throw Rory Lobb in there. They've also got big
Dawson Simpson.
Dawson Simpson, 208 centimetres of him. He's huge.
Tom Downey, I think.
Tom Downey's another one.
It's funny, again, the way GWS have played and the numbers that put up and the kind of player, they play some breathtaking football. Breathtaking. Your arguing is that Mumford doesn't play well or Mumford doesn't play. That breathtaking football can't. Are you saying that breathtaking football can't take them all the way to a premiership?
The chances are reduced.
How significant or just a little
significant.
Bit?
Significant. Well, their main strength is teams fear them at the stoppage because, as we said 3 minutes ago, their ability to take the tap for the underneath players and get away at speed and then be forward of the congestion where the pack was, and then they look to do what they want with the footy. There's no real, there's running and sprint pressure, but there's no real heat on them harassing them.
If the Crows hadn't dropped that last game, they'd finish fifth. that we wouldn't be talking like this. That's my fear with them, that maybe they've got a position that is maybe a false read on them. I'm not sure whether...
Well, that might prove to be the luckiest thing that's ever happened to them.
Exactly. So, we've never seen a year like this, so even across the top six or seven.
What about their forward 50? It's been quite incredible because at the start of the year, everyone's going, what's Jeremy Cameron going to do? By the mid-year, everyone was going, Rory Lobb's just the most... He's just gone through the roof. And now everyone's saying Jonathan Patton. So they've got the three tools. They've got Johnson and Toby Green.
He's their most important forward.
And the resting mid, right? So there's their starting six. Toby Green's year kingy, rewarded with All-Australian on Thursday night.
If you stop Toby Green, you shut down 50% of their scoring. I've got no doubt about that.
With his pressure and his
He's a little bit like Tom Lynch from Adelaide.
And his goal kicking.
He's the player that takes it from
different
the midfield
sort of connecting
50,
player, though, isn't he? Doing
and he
Tom
can get
Lynch.
Out the back. He's a gun runner. He's an elite runner.
He's an elite
He doesn't look like it.
He's just not quick.
He's just not quick, but he keeps going.
I think
there'll be a lot of time put into him over the next four
There's
weeks.
There's one that is a very good player, which has just slipped in the last two games, who is an exceptionally good player, and I probably rate him higher than most others do viewing them, and that's Devin Smith. Mm. Don't be surprised if he can bob up in a final kicking three goals.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah, he's
a good player.
He won't, die not knowing Devin Smith.
Well, he's going to take three shots, you know that. Yeah.
Just the man they needed to come in and mentor, wasn't it? Was Stevie J. He really needed assistance in that area. We're going to take a break. Plenty more crunch questions coming up, the big issues of footy. But next, Tom Petroro drops in, leading player manager, to join us to talk about the ever-changing trade landscape. This is 11:16 SEN. It's crunch time for you on a Saturday with a difference. Plenty of footy coming up later on SEN with all the VFL action as well. For the Australian Property Group, Wholesale Mortgage Fund returning 7% per annum paid quarterly. And Ringwood Mazda, score a demo deal now.